You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com.
All right, what's a hootenanny? I don't know. It could be a lot of things, but you probably know when you're in one, right? If you're in the middle of a hootenanny, that should be pretty evident. Well, the folks in Great Falls are gearing up for one right now as we speak. And we'll speak to that. Boats, brews, and blues. Anyone? Anyone? Yeah, me. Probably everyone. I don't want to speak for you, but my hand's up. That's the theme of a race and event centered in Fort Benton coming up soon in July. And it sounds like a little bit of fun. On Voices of Montana today, going to take a look at this radio virtual tour of our six Montana regional tourism destinations. Today at Central Montana on Voices.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio. From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today at 866-627-5483 or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now here's your host, Tom Schultz.
How hot did it get yesterday, Eric? I mean, what was the official high in Montana?
106, 109.
That's ridiculous.
Something crazy like that.
That's a hot nanny, and I'm not having any fun in that. Well, I hope you are. I mean, I enjoy summer like crazy. Going to be talking about some summer fun events and other things going on in Central Montana as part of our series, Six Montana Regional Tourism Destinations, covering that over the next few weeks. How you doing? I hope you're doing great. It's midweek, and I hope you've been kicking it. And I know we the heat just has an effect on us, slows things down, especially if you're working outside. Oh, God bless you if you are, for crying out loud. Yeah. Eric suggested this. I love Glenn Frey. Man. It's all over the place, that's for sure. So stay cool, okay? Just be cool. But being cool about yourself, okay? And thank you for joining us, making us a part of your... Go ahead and play that a little bit. If I'm talking, I want some Glenn Frey back there. Yeah. Anyway, do appreciate you being here and making us a part of your Montana mornings for all these years. So, hootenanny, that's going on in Great Falls. We'll be talking with Scott Reasoner, president of the Great Falls Voyagers. This is the 4th of July hootenanny, free concert. He's also a part of this downtown summer jam thing. A bit later on, too, Patty Stewart. There's a song made famous by Hank Williams Jr. called 2 Dot Montana. There's going to be a street dance in 2 Dot. We're talking about that. Love me some Fort Benton. That's right there, right next to the Missouri River, of course. And they've got something called Boats, Brews, and Blues right up my alley. I wonder about you. Jamie Carrier is going to be with us a bit later on. Let's welcome Gail Fisher first here to the show, Executive Director of the Central Montana Tourism Region, centralmontana.com for more information there. Lots going on. Beautiful area. I mean, we're talking, it's just huge, too. You go to Toole County, to Blaine County, along the north. You've got Marr County. You've got Wheatland County to the south. It's just a huge area, and there's just so much going on. Good morning, Gail. How's it going?
Good morning. It's going well. And I loved your description. Even when it's hot, we like to slow down and enjoy the scenery, enjoy a great drive, kick back and relax.
Well,
we're a good relaxing region here. So can I talk about the region a little bit?
No.
No.
Of course you can, Gail. That's what we want to hear about it, because there's a lot of history there. There's a lot of, fun things. I think it's one of those areas where if you're going to go explore it, give yourself a lot of time, because there's little places here and there that may not show up until you get there.
Right. Little excuse me, little treasures, we like to say. Some people have never ridden the three river ferries that cross the Missouri. They're free ferries. You put your car on them. You can actually put two cars on them. And the ferry operator will take you across the Missouri. If you're looking for something fun to do, what I do, I get on the ferry, I ride across, I turn my car around, and I come back. And they love it. It's just a little slice of heaven, a slice of time gone by.
It is.
You can get the ferries at going downstream, starting at Carter, Montana, just north of Great Falls, and then a little tiny town called Virgil, and the last one is north of Winifred. So it's a fun scenic drive for the ferries, and just something that just could be on your bucket list too. So and lots of historic trails. Lewis and Clark Trail goes all through here and other parts of Montana, too. We like to say in Great Falls, we kept them here the longest. We like to extend the visitor stay. And believe me, when Lewis and Clark came through, they stayed a little longer because they had five waterfalls to go around. So you can see the falls when you come here. There are, you know, viewing areas for each one right at the Lewis and Clark Interpretive Center. You can look out the windows at Black Eagle Falls. So lots to do.
Yeah, those falls are cool. That Lewis and Clark Interpretive Center, if folks have never been there, they ought to go. I mean, it's really a great place.
It is. It is amazing. Very amazing. Perched right overlooking the Missouri. And the location is spectacular. The River's Edge Trail goes all along the Missouri River through Great Falls. It's about 60 miles, part paved. It's all for non-motorized traffic. So it's you can walk it, you can bike it. Rollerblade, whatever your thing is. So it's a great treasure here and something that people do travel for to experience. So
let's talk a bit about, first of all, maybe COVID-19 restrictions. Last year, obviously, it hit us in the pocketbook, hit us in where we love to get out and recreate in Montana. But you guys are in the heart of the Big Sky, as you say, wide open spaces there. And really great folks. What are, you know, current protocols?
The protocols are pretty much lifted now.
Yeah.
We do ask if people haven't been vaccinated to wear a mask. Otherwise, you know, we're just we're promoting our outdoor activities, which is kind of our main strength anyway. And that's what we did during COVID-19 is kind of plant the seeds for our outdoor activities. And a lot of that was wrapped into education because we knew that many families were doing remote schooling or families that do homeschooling. So we promoted a lot of our educational, you know, outdoor activities like our dinosaur digs, just getting out and exploring our, you know, parks and things you could do outside with your family and not be exposed to anything, you know, with COVID in a large group like
yeah
that.
Yeah, just some precautions. Mm-hmm. I mean, we still have to be conscious of that.
Sure.
Let's talk a little bit then about how dry it is and fire conditions and things like that. Just things that people are going to be concerned about if they're going to kind of hit the road.
Sure. Yeah. We don't have any fires immediately in the region, but we're getting a little bit of smoke from the Deep Creek fire right now, coming over into the White Sulphur Mar County area. It's dry. It's spotty throughout the region, though. Some places have had good moisture. Others haven't, and we have a lot of national forests surrounding us, the Lewis and Clark National Forest, and we always encourage people to recreate responsibly. You know, I mean, people know what to do. You know, you need to make sure that your fires are out, and if it's, you know, if you're four-wheeling or on a dirt bike or something, for heaven's sakes, be careful, because, you know, those sparks could easily start something.
Good precautions there. So Gail Fisher is with us. She's the executive director of the Central Montana Tourism Region, centralmontana.com for more information. All right. And it is a beautiful area. We love it. We're heard in Lewistown up there. Helena gets in. Even our billing station gets in there. Great Falls, obviously. Mm-hmm. So you've got beautiful, stretched out kind of prairie areas. And then you've got some mountain ranges that I think are maybe underrated. The High Woods, the Moccasins. You got the Little Rockies, the Bear Paws, the Judith Mountains. So have you picked a favorite yet?
They're all my favorite.
Uh-huh.
No.
Uh-huh.
I have some favorites, but and it's a very apt description. We like to say we have mountains, rivers, and plains. You know, we're very proud of our waterways, what we call the island ranges, in addition to the east slope of the Rockies, because we go all the way up, you know, through Shoto and up to the border. But the island ranges are really amazing and very underrated. People who go there absolutely come back just glowing. I mean, whether it's the Highwood or the Bear Paws, I was just down in the Little Rockies last weekend, and I mean, they're all a treasure, and each are different. I was just reading some information and writing some copy about the Sweetgrass Hills, which are not technically mountains, but when you look at the rise from the prairie, how they come up, there's quite an elevation gain there. But we jokingly call them our islands, And they are island ranges, not attached to a major spine like the Rocky Mountains. So we've got quite a diversity there, entrances to the Bob Marshall, you know, on the east slope of the Rockies, too. So it's a little bit for everybody.
What do people come there to do mostly? I mean, I know there's a lot of great fishing. There's a lot of great camping, a lot of great hiking. What draws people to central Montana?
You know, it's the scenery. On our research, people come for the scenery. They come for just a little bit more relaxed pace of life, kind of a little respite from the busyness. While they're here, do they want to go to a rockin' festival? You bet they do. But they still enjoy having that slower pace. And, you know, outdoor activities certainly lead us. You know, we've got great bird watching. We have birding trails, you know, for here. We have quite a few trails, you know, historic trails. You know, a lot of people are following history. It varies a little bit through the seasons. In early fall, we'll get, you know, travelers who are just wanting to come kind of more off-season, and that's typically our history, you know, lovers that want to experience some of that. You know, summertime, we've got people looking more for outdoor recreation. Fishing is really tops for us here, all types of fishing, not just fly fishing, but, you know, lake fishing. We've got some great lakes and reservoirs that people come for to get that tasty walleye, and it varies throughout the season.
Going to talk a little bit here about the Missouri River and, you know, the wild and scenic portion of that and an event coming up in Fort Benton here. But I want to talk a little bit about rodeos, too, because there's a lot of towns in that area. You've got Harlaton. You've got Augusta. There's an art show, art in the park and car show in Joplin. After last year and all those cancellations, you know, how have businesses kind of hung in there? What's your impression of that? And now that it's opening up again, I suppose expecting a lot more traffic this year.
It is opening up, and there's a little bit of euphoria about it. People are excited. Some of those events have gone on. I mean, the Harlaton Rodeo's 69th year. You know, when you miss a year, that's
yeah.
part of your heritage almost to do things like that. And so it's people are excited, they're eager, but they're also being a little bit cautious too. You know, Red Ants Pants, one of our major festivals, is in White Sulphur, is limiting attendance. They're still going to have some awesome entertainment, but they realize that they need to, you know, we need to put a little curb on things and ease into things. I think for the most part, everything is all of the festivals and events, rodeos will happen this summer. And I think the locals are going to feel like we're back to normal.
Yeah, and that's so welcome. The Red Ants Pants Festival, it's just grown in the, what is it now, 10, this will be, well, 10 years. It couldn't hold it last year, July 22nd through the 25th. That's a huge event. Limiting participation there, I guess that makes sense because it is a large event. There are so much going on there, and we're going to talk with Scott Reisner a bit later on. He's with the Great Falls Voyagers, but this Downtown Summer Jam and the Hootenanny in Great Falls, it's a huge thing. Next is going to be Jamie Carrier. She's a lifelong Montanan and part of the effort, you know, to encourage folks, and I don't know, I mean, I don't know how much encouragement you need, because this Missouri River, the wild and scenic portion of this, is a destination spot. But Jamie's going to join us here in just a bit. And Gail, you're going to hang on, right, and
yep.
co-host with me?
Sure, I love
it. All right, let's have some fun. We are 406-ing here on Voices of Montana, centralmontana.com, the Central Montana Tourism Region. Gail Fisher, Executive Director of that region, and we're back with more Voices in just a bit. Nothing like a street dance, right? Wonder what it's like in Two Dot, Montana. I've not been there. We'll speak with Patty, where's her name over here? Stewart, I believe. Yeah, Patty Stewart. We'll talk about the Two Dot Street Dance upcoming a bit later on. Also, there's a lot of fun on the streets in Great Falls, the Downtown Summer Jam and the Hootenanny. Scott Reisner, he's president of Great Falls Voyagers, and he'll be on, too, to talk about that in just a bit. Gail Fisher with us, executive director of the Central Montana Tourism Region, centralmontana.com. Tom Schultz here, and thanks for joining us. Voices of Montana is from Montana for Montana as we just go 406. And let's go over to the birthplace of Montana, as they say. Jamie Carrier, lifelong Montanan, mother of four. She's half the folk Americana duo, the Lucky Valentines, and she is efforting this Boats, Brews, and Blues, which is hosted by Shoco, short for Shoto County, right there in Fort Bett, Montana. Good morning, Jamie. How you doing?
Good morning. I'm well. Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me on. Hi, Gail.
Hi.
Hey, Gail, let's start with, I don't think that, well, I know you can't. You can't do the things that Central Montana Tourism Region wants to do without people like Jamie, I presume.
Right, right. Jamie is a key organizer in this event. I didn't get to it for the kickoff, but it's on my radar this year, and it just sounds awesome. And so Jamie's got the details, I
yes.
know, but just floating that little stretch isn't awesome. I've done that, and it is really awesome.
Oh, I want to float that one. I've got maps. I've been thinking about this for years and years. I want to do it so bad, Jamie. And then, you know, the boats, the brews and the blues, you know, those three things are kind of in Montana's wheelhouse, huh?
Yeah, it's true. Although, you know, we've cheated a little bit. The name is so good, but we don't always have blues music. So it's always boats, brews, and tunes. but yeah, this year we have some great talent. We've got some Montana artists and then also a group from Wyoming called the Two Tracks, who have been making a lot of waves on the Americana. They've gotten up to the tops of some Americana playlists. And then we have Peter and Molly Wilson, who are just from around this area. They used to live in Highwood, Montana, which is in Shoto County, but now they're in Stockett. And then we have a group from Missoula called The Workers. So that's our music for the year. And we're super happy to partner with the Friends of the Missouri River Breaks this year, because they're actually hosting the boat part of it, and it's a race. So we've had different things happen, because the first year that we did our events, the BLM was celebrating their 50th anniversary, so they did a triathlon. And then the second year, one of the people on our committee actually did like just a boat rental just in town. So they went from the fairgrounds down to the boat dock. But this year we have a race sponsored and hosted by the Friends of the Missouri Breaks. So check out our Facebook to register for it, which is at Show County Fun. But yeah, so that's going to be exciting. I think it's a 20-mile stretch. They're expecting that the longest it will take people would be about 3 hours, but if you're extra fast, it could be faster than that.
Well, and so it's going to be an actual race. Let's get to the boat portion of it here. It's going to kick off in Fort Benton, and then 20 miles later, that's where are they getting off at?
So they get off at Wood Bottom, which is down by Loma.
Okay.
And then come back to Fort Benton for the Brews and Blues part of it.
Have you been down that little stretch?
I'm ashamed to say I haven't. I've lived here in Fort Benton I've lived here for like 15 years and still never floated that bit. But my husband's done it.
And it's awesome. It is awesome. And it's interesting. You're going down and you're literally going with the flow. And when you get to that last little probably, I want to say mile to half mile, there's a whole bunch of little jogs. And so save a little energy for that last burst. And it's great. It is great. Just to follow the geography along that stretch of the river and to see how it changes. And when you pull into Wood Bottom, you've earned that last little stretch because you're, especially if you get a little upwind there. But it's fun. It is absolutely fun. A group of girls and I did it and I'm ready to do it again. I'm not going to race though. I'm a leisurely floater.
You kind of get out there, though, and you see all those boats passing you by, and you think, I'm going to get my paddle out.
Well, a little competition. You know, I could speed up a little bit, I guess. But I know I have to save it for the last few jogs there coming into Wood Bottom.
Okay.
Well, the nice thing is the whole float is downstream. So, like, even if you're not racing with your entire heart, you know, a few paddles are going to push you far forward.
Right.
Every float is downstream.
That's true.
Yeah.
Not for Lewis and Clark. They chose
the other way.
Yeah, they came upstream.
And I have done some floating. Well, I float the Yellowstone an awful lot in my life, and I have done some paddling upstream for sections, and I just can't imagine what that crew did. Jamie Carrier is with us. Boats, Brews, and Blues. We're talking about that. She's half of the folk Americana duo, the Lucky Valentines, are well known in the area. Gail Fisher, too, executive director of Central Montana tourism, that one of six distinct tourism regions in Montana. So we explore those, and as I say, going 406 in. Okay, I got to take a news break, Jamie, but let's talk about them brews, all right? I want to know who's going to be there, and I want to know where does a gal or a guy start. We'll be back with more after these headlines from Brian Bennett. A lot of history in that Fort Benton area. We want to kind of talk about that, too. Jamie Carrier is with us as she's organizing the Boats, Brews, and Blues, hosted by SHOCO, short for Sholto County Fun. That's coming up on July 17th. There's another event there, SHOCO Revive, Fort Benton event that's going to take place the 19th and the 22nd. A lot of that's going to involve, obviously, the river there because it's such a huge part of it. Gail Fisher with us too, Executive Director of Central Montana Tourism, that region, centralmontana.com. So, Jamie, I do want to talk about the history there, but Boats, Brews, so we talked about the boats, we talked about the blues. What about them brews? Who's going to be there? What's and where does a fella start?
So we've got a few breweries that will be right there with us on the street. So we close off the street from the old bridge to the driving bridge. And we've got Wiesla from Haver, as well as Old Station from Haver, 10 Mile Creek from Helena. And then we do have a few other breweries that have shown interest but haven't fully committed. But one of the great things is that SHOCO Fun is about our community. So we also asked for an open container waiver for that entire area, which is pretty much where our seven bars all sit too. So folks who don't especially love craft beer can still get their mixed drinks and wine and stuff from our local bars as well.
How many people show up? And I think you've been doing it, this might be your third or fourth year?
Yep, this is our fourth year. And this year, so we always listen to the feedback. So the first years, we only had it for a couple of hours at a time. But this time, we're actually going from 3 to 10 p.m. So there will be a lot of... So what we've seen, to answer your question, is that people kind of come and go. But usually, we get about 600 to 800 people who show up throughout those couple of hours. And we're expecting more this time with the boat race happening also. And we've kind of noticed in the area that when there are events, people are really ready to get out and be together and have fun.
Gail, I want to have you go ahead.
Oh, I think we're going to expect about 1,500 this year.
Yeah, wow, that's an awful lot. What time does the boat race start?
I believe it starts at 11 a.m., and then people will start showing up downtown around 3, which is when we kick off our music and stuff.
All right, and how do people get involved in this? They have to register? Go ahead.
So they can either go to the Friends of the Missouri Breaks website, or you can find a registration link on our Facebook page because the event is combined. So if you go to the Show County Fund on Facebook, and under our events, you'll see the Boats, Brews, and Blues, and there's a registration link there for the race part. And then to come to the Brew Fest, the entertainment is free. There's free activities for kids, including a super great face painter from Great Falls, bubbles and things like that. So that part is all free. But the Brew Fest, of course, you've got to buy the beer if you're over 21.
Understood. So, and it's show is spelled CHO and capital CO. So SHOCO Fun. Gail, why don't you speak to, we only got about a minute left here to speak to the history of this area. That's got to be a big draw for a lot of people too.
Oh, it's huge. The old fort has been reconstructed, old Fort Benton, and just going through that is a walk through history. You learn how when the steamboats came up the river, and that's as far as they could go. They offloaded supplies right there. And the river levee, there's a grassy there's a walking trail there too and a sidewalk. You can just walk down that, and there's interpretive panels you can just read. That was at one point called the bloodiest block in the West. And you'll see a sign about that. I mean, it was a whooping up time because everybody was selling their furs and getting their money after they trapped all, you know, season. And it was time to celebrate. And, it was a pretty pretty hop in town at that point.
Gail, and, stand by. Jamie, yeah. I know you got to go. I'm just going to say boat, brew, and blue responsibly, and hopefully that we will see you sometime in the near future. Thank you, Jamie.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, guys.
All right, we'll move over to Great Falls next. Gearing up for a hootenanny. Who ain't? Back with more of Voices in a bit.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
You're listening to a podcast from the live Voices of Montana radio show. Be sure to check out the full podcast page at voicesofmontana.com for a full listing of all our programs. We've been covering Montana issues for more than 20 years. Thanks for listening today.
Great to have you joining us here today. We are 406ing virtually here, centralmontana.com. That's the Central Montana Tourism Region, one of six distinctive regions in Montana that we're exploring as we virtual 406. Gail Fisher still with us, executive director of that tourism region. Scott Reisner getting on the line here as well. On this date in 1832, the streamer Yellowstone reaches the junction of the Yellowstone and Missouri Rivers. That's about as far as they got back in 1832, nearby Fort Union. That was the nation's innermost port at the time. Also on this date in 1862, so 30 years later, Captain James Fiske's wagon train of over 100 people left St. Paul. He wanted to establish a northern road to Fort Benton. We were just in Fort Benton talking with Jamie Carrier about the boats, brews, and blues, and we should get Scott on the line here real soon. Gail, thank you for being here. Appreciate that. I kind of wanted to have you take us down that stretch of the wild and scenic portion of the Missouri River, the White Cliffs. Like I say, I've been thinking about that for a number of years. Haven't gotten to it. And summer's summer. It's a great time to do it. But what makes it special? What can people expect?
You know, Tom, it is a trip of a lifetime. To see the White Cliffs, you could launch. I usually launch at what's called Colbanks Landing, and that's by the little town of Virgil. And that gives me two nights of camping, and the third night I get a shower because I'm done. So, but if I launch at Colbanks, that's a Bureau of Land Management, a BLM site there, and go down, the first night you'll camp at a designated campground, and it's private land along there, so you just do the designated campgrounds. And you'll probably be looking at Eagle Rock, and you're just getting into what's called the White Cliffs, and sunset on that, you wouldn't have enough time to take photos of that. It's beautiful. And another tip, bring some of the Lewis and Clark journals or some Lewis and Clark information, and you'll start seeing what they wrote about so profusely about the White Cliffs. The next day you go in a little bit, you're going downstream a little bit more, you'll find Hole in the Wall, which is an awesome hike. I've done it once, that's enough, but it's a well-photographed area. And again, you're seeing these cliffs that, Lewis and Clark expedition compared it to, you know, Roman ruins. I mean, it's just, you can find kind of designs. What do they look like? One's called Seven Sisters, and there's seven kind of spires there, things like that. Then I camp usually at an area called Slaughter River. And then the third day of my float, I usually take out at Judith Landing. And that's pretty much south of Big Sandy there. So, but I've also done from Judith down to the Stafford-McClellan Ferry, and you're getting out of the White Cliffs area then, and you're starting to see a little more wildlife. You don't see a lot of floaters along the way anyway, but you can study history, you can study wildlife, you can study geography. It's all in there, and it's an easy float, 3.5 miles an hour is the average current in the summer. So
yeah. Like I say, I've been fantasizing it about it for a while. There's a lot of trails, a lot of hiking, if you want to stop in various places to, mm-hmm. Cabins and things like that. So really cool. Scott Reisner now joins us, president of the Great Falls Voyagers, and he's also a promoter of Downtown Summer Jam. And those tickets, Scott, by the way, how you doing, sir?
Very good. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. I hope the Voyagers are doing well. Are they? You kicking it?
Well, we are. We started off a little rocky, but we've been winning some games lately. We start a homestand tonight. Yeah, a lot of summer left of baseball, but just nice to have fans back at the ballpark. Cold beer, hot dogs, kids run the bases, you name it. It's going on here at Centene Stadium with the Voyagers. And we're just excited to have life back to normal and fans in the ballpark.
I know it was torture last year not to have baseball in these areas because we loved it. Hey, before we get to the Hootenanny, at the ballpark there, who's among your biggest fans? If there was a fan of the Voyagers who shows up and you would say every time he's there it's a Hootenanny, who's that?
Oh, my gosh. We have so many just diehard phenomenal fans out here. I'd be doing a disservice to pick one. But obviously, everyone knows the biggest fan of the Voyagers is our mascot, Orbit, who hasn't missed a game in like 15 years.
Of course.
I mean, talk about diehard out here every night cheering on the team. I mean, it's hard to get any better than that.
What's this Hootenanny? What's going on in Great Falls?
Oh, absolutely. So Great Falls, not only do we have baseball, we have all sorts of fun activities planned this summer. No event is bigger than the 4th of July Hootenanny. This is a free concert in the heart of downtown Great Falls at the corner of 5th and Central. It'll start about an hour after the 4th of July parade. And we have a country superstars, Lanco, coming out. So rather than paying $40 or $50 a ticket like you would normally to see them play at a fairgrounds or something like that, you just come to downtown Great Falls on the 4th of July, and you get to watch them play for free in the middle of downtown. We have drink vendors, food vendors. We expect about 8,000 to 10,000 people down here, so it's going to be one heck of a party.
Lanco, there they are. Lots of YouTube going on for Lanco there, so a little bit of that taste. And I appreciate that this is free, Scott. The Downtown Summer Jam is also, I mean, those tickets are reasonably priced. $15
yes,
a ticket,
yes,
and three
so
for 35.
That is our summer series. So we have the free 4th of July show. But if you're looking for more music and you want to be outside and experience concerts in a downtown setting, which is hard to beat, we have three downtown summer jams this summer, starting on Wednesday, July 21st, and then August 11th and August 25th. Those tickets are just $15 or $35 to go to all three shows. Again, there's drinks available, food vendors. You're right at the corner of 5th and Central, so you're right next to the Mighty Mo, N Bar, The Block, Fire Pizza, a lot of great places right downtown to have an awesome night out in downtown Great Falls. And those start July 21st. You can visit downtownsummerjam.com, and you can see the lineup. You can get the information on the 4th of July Hootenanny. You know, we're excited about all the artists performing. But on July 21st, our first show, we have up-and-coming superstar Lainey Wilson that will be headlining the show. She's got a couple big hits out right now that you're hearing on the radio. And, yeah, it's just $15, and you can party right in the middle of downtown Great Falls, and it's going to be a blast.
Yeah, what's that like? I mean, how many people show up? And give us a taste of that atmosphere a little bit.
Yeah, so we have a fenced-in area, so that way we can serve drinks and alcohol, and there is a ticket charge. But to get inside the fenced area, it's just a $15. It's about three city blocks we shut down right in the middle of downtown, again, at the 5th and Central in the heart of downtown Great Falls. But, yeah, you're watching a giant stage, huge rock production going on right in the middle of downtown. So, you know, you can walk to restaurants, bars. It is a party like, you know, you haven't seen. We average about 1,000 people a show for these. Again, this is an event that's been going on for a number of years. Obviously, we weren't able to do it last year. So just excited to bring live music to downtown Great Falls again this summer. It's if you haven't been out to the 4th of July in 2019 or any of our summer jams in the past, it's worth the trip to Great Falls. You see some amazing Nashville-signed touring artists playing amazing songs you can find on the radio while you're just having a cold beer out in the middle of downtown Great Falls.
I know. It's perfect. Perfect summer fun. And I think Great Falls, when you look at that downtown area, that really lends itself to that sort of street atmosphere, doesn't it?
Oh, it's perfect. You know, downtown, if you haven't been to Great Falls in a while, downtown has really been taking off. Lots of new bars, restaurants, places to eat or drink, some great shopping, some amazing stores, whether you're bringing the family out or just looking for a night out of the town. It's got everything you need. You know, it's not the downtown you probably remember if it's been 10 years or so. I always joke with people that there's not a bar or restaurant. outside of maybe City Bar and the famous Sip and Dip. Everything else is pretty much new here in the last decade. So, you know, we're excited to have folks out for these events and kind of rediscover downtown Great Falls and everything that's going on with revitalization here.
Yeah, you're so right about that. And thank you for promoting these events. I know it takes a lot of time and there's a little bit of risk in it, you know. And so,
well, we would just want to say too, the 4th of July Hootenanny is free.
Yes.
And all the money that's raised from that by businesses, donations at the event, all that money actually goes to the Great Falls Symphony here in town. And we have launched a local music foundation that you can apply starting after this year for grants to help put on more live of music events in Great Falls. And that's all through the symphony. So everything down there is done to raise money to keep live music in Great Falls as we really become, our goal is the festival capital here of the Northwest. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Wow. Thank you for mentioning that and getting that out there. I think that's really cool. I want to maybe kind of explore that a little bit. Good on you, Scott.
You're welcome. Absolutely.
All right. Take care. Thanks for being here. Good luck to the Voyagers and have some fun. Of course, Hootenanny responsibly.
Absolutely. We look forward to seeing everyone in Great Falls.
All right. That's Scott Reasoner, as I mentioned, president, Great Falls Voyagers, and also a promoter for the Summer Jams and the 4th of July Hootenanny. Up next, we're going to go to 2Dot Montana. Yes, we are. When you're visiting Montana's state parks, a thing to remember here is to recreate responsibly. It's important. There's park status has made change, so know that before you go. You can look it up, practice physical distancing, plan for facilities to be closed, play it safe by limiting potentially dangerous activities, leave no trace by packing out everything you pack in, and take part in keeping our outdoors safe. More information on Montana's 55 state parks. Visit fwp.mt.gov/stateparks. We will see you out there. We'll see you back here with more from Montana for Montana. Tomorrow's open phones, whatever's on your mind there, maybe the G7 summit, put it on the docket, 866-627-5483. Oil is shooting up to plus $70 a barrel. The price of gas is probably going to follow. We're going to have Alan Olson, who's with the Montana Petroleum Association, on to talk about a lot of things, including yesterday's ruling from a Louisiana judge that blocked President Biden's ban on new oil and gas leases on federal lands. And also, we'll have an update, a fire update from Sonia German from the DNRC. We'll talk over the current conditions and preparedness, talk about that Robinson fire as well. That's up on Friday. Right now, over to 2Dot. Gail Fisher is still with us. She's the executive director, Central Montana Tourism Region. And now Patty Stewart joins us to talk about the 2Dot Street Dance and the Harlotin NRA Rodeo, July 2nd and 3rd. Just underneath Loco Mountain and Porcupine Butte, moving nearby 10 miles west of Harlotin, is 2Dot Montana. Hey, Patty, how are things? How are you doing? How's 2Dot?
A little dry, but we're doing good.
I bet it's a little dry. That makes us a little bit nervous, doesn't it?
That does. It does. But we're going to go on with our festivities in Wheatland County and Harlow and 2Dot and pray for lots of rain.
Yeah. So. Hey, has Hank Williams Jr. ever performed this song in 2Dot Montana?
I bet you've been wondering why you ain't
which is,
no,
which is,
he no. hasn't, but we play it a lot.
I bet you do.
Yes.
Yeah, he wrote a song about your town. That's pretty cool.
It is.
Talk about this street dance, the dates, the times, things like that,
yes.
And what people can expect.
Well, the 2Dot Street Dance has been going on with the community club for about 17 years now. The community club took it over from the little town of Harlow, or 2Dot. We do it to raise money to keep the fire hall moving and going and equipment for the firemen. This year we have El Wincho coming to play music for us from 6 to 10 o'clock. Outside, we hope to have wonderful weather this year, so we have dinner starting at 5, and it'll be hot dogs, hamburgers, corn on the cob, home ranch beans. Last year, we fed about 200 people on our COVID year, which was okay, and we are hoping to have a lot more this year.
Probably double that.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
The 2Dot Bar is also available at the street dance, as well as the firemen selling cold brews. So we have things for the kids to do. So everybody, it's a family-friendly environment, and we invite everybody to come and enjoy us on the 1st of July, starting, like I said, at 5, and then continue with the rest of the weekend with us in Harlow at the rodeo and the parade and the Rocky Mountain Cookware Barbecue.
Oh, that's real cool. It's cool that that's a benefit for the fire department there, a fire hall
yes,
benefit.
Yes, the Two Dot Dance is a benefit for the fire department in Two Dot, yes. Hey,
Gail Fisher, talk about, you know, when we think about Montana and our values and our roots, a community like Two Dot, not very big, but how important is that to for us to hang on to things like this?
Oh, and you could not paint a more idyllic photo of going into Two Dot. If I put a photo of the Two Dot area on Central Montana's Facebook page, everybody, I get so many comments and so many shares. People love it. If you've been there, you know it. But you turn off the highway between whether you're coming from White Sulphur or coming from Harlow, and you cross on a little bridge, the Muscle Shell River, and I always stop there and take a photo because it looks really cool. And then you drive into town, and I'll admit I've taken a photo of myself beneath the Two Dot bar sign because that's pretty cool. And but recently Two Dot has, I mean, they've got a nice little welcome to Two Dot sign. They put up some historic panels right, you know, near the downtown area of Two Dot, let's say, and it tells the history of Two Dot too. You're looking at, you know, it's the Crazy Mountain Range is sitting there just waiting for you to use it as a backdrop for a photo, too. And the people, you walk into the Two Dot Bar, you're part of Two Dot. I mean, that's just that's kind right. of the way you feel.
So, yeah.
But is it important? Oh, you better believe it is. It's rural Montana at its very best. It's the core of ranch country, good people.
Yeah.
Good people.
Hey, thank you, Patty. Have fun. Remember, everybody, Two Dot responsibly. And Gail, thank you as well for being a part of the show today. It's been so much fun.
All
right.
Thank you.
Yep. And hopefully we'll see you down the road. Love to get me out and do some 406ing, and perhaps Central Montana is the place. Again, centralmontana.com. Hank Jr. is going to kind of fill it out for us here. You guys have a good one. We'll see you tomorrow.